Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Oklahoma Perspective. The inauguration of Governor-elect Kevin Stitt is just a few weeks away. KRMG's Russell Mills talked with transition overseer Donnell Harder about the process and the early plans for Stitt's first days in office.
You know, I think a lot of people are under the misapprehension that basically between the election in early November and the swearing in mid-January, it's kind of lean time, but that could not be further from the truth for a new governor and his staff, Drew.
That is 100% true. It is very busy. It's almost as if our time has not changed from the campaign trail where we were working 7 days a week before the sun came up and long after the sun had gone down. The pace is very similar because the governor-elect is really committed to bringing new ideas and a new process into how we're looking at state government. So we are really leveraging the transition period to rethink how does the governor's office work? How does the Secretary of State's office work? How are we looking at different agencies? And because it's not just us coming in and filling vacancies, it's us coming in and restructuring some of the core functions of government. It's meant a lot of work for us on the ground, digging in very deep into the details and setting up new frameworks for then hiring people and getting them into good places so that we are meeting the needs of the people and fulfilling the promises on the trail. So it's been very busy. I know the governor-elect looks forward to getting back there, back out and speaking with people again soon. His priority really has been very focused in on interviewing and recruiting and reaching out and trying to find some of the best people here in Oklahoma to come serve with him in government once he's sworn in on January 14th.
Which is, you know, why I'm talking with you and not with Governor-elect Stitt, because he's at this point just not talking to the media. He is knuckling down. Is that fair to say?
He is. And I know he is eager to get back out there and talking to you and talking to the press and being there on the ground with people. But right now he essentially is locked in a room and just continuing to meet face to face with new talented Oklahomans, looking at what it means to bring them into different roles, how we can restructure some of these agencies, how we can restructure his cabinet, the board, and making sure that we truly start off on a very firm foundation in January and that we can get off the ground working very hard for the people that elected the governor-elect and all of Oklahoma, all 4 million Oklahomans. So he has told us that to give him some time to really knuckle down and to get that right team in place so that we can be doing everything that he promised.
So one thing about government is there's the elected officials, and then there's what has become known in modern times as the bureaucracy. And these are the folks that are employees of the state. Some of them have been around for a very long time. They've got a certain way that they're used to doing things. And when a new administration comes in and wants to shake things up, you're going to get the, hey, but we've always done it this way response. I will tell you, personal note, that is words I never want to hear because that's how we've always done it. But I'm guessing you might be getting a little bit of that as you guys are sort of retooling things at the state level.
It's very natural for people to say, you know, hold on, this is how we've always done it, and this has worked. But we're not just looking at what has worked. We're looking at what takes us to that next level, what takes us to the top 10 ranking. We're not just looking at making sure things are working. Kevin has really set out with the purpose to move the needle. Otherwise, he feels like his time's for naught and that everything that he promised was for naught. And so he wants to move the needle. And we really believe as The governor-elect has gone in and started meeting with different agency heads and meets with state employees that a lot of them are excited. We want them to feel inspired that they are part of the change. They have the opportunity, because of their institutional knowledge, to bring forward the ideas to help us know how to do it differently, because they've seen how things haven't worked, or they've seen where things have gotten stagnant. And so the governor-elect really hopes that even within bureaucracy, we can have a very real conversation and a very genuine conversation that they can be part of the change. They are on the inside and know where things should be tweaked or are operating differently. And if anything, we would hope that they are inspired by these new agency leaders that we hope to recruit to government, how we want these government employees to see that we're prepared to communicate their successes to the rest of the state and to demonstrate to the voters that government is working again for the people. So there is an opportunity for them to rise up and really be part of the change. And I think that our hope is that they'll be inspired by that and maybe be willing to speak up for the first time and let us know that this small portion of their Excel sheet has the ability to radically improve efficiency, or to let us know that we no longer need this aspect of a program because we can now shift it to a current need of today's Oklahomans. So it is easy to be stuck in what's comfortable and what's normal, but our hope is that all government employees feel inspired to be part of that change because of the knowledge that they carry from their time serving the state.
And, you know, I don't want to sound too cynical, but one could argue that it hasn't been working all that well. We've had a lot of issues, and not just budgetary issues. Obviously, you know, the whole economy has been based largely on, you know, petrochemicals and carbon, and certainly there's agriculture and aviation and other things, but we've seen how drastically the state budget can rise and fall with the move of the price of crude oil, for example. So that's just one thing that I think the governor wants to address, is maybe diversifying the economy a little bit and shoring up the budgetary process.
Correct. I mean, Oklahoma is never going to see a better recruiter than in Governor-elect Kevin Stitt. He is a CEO. He has created 1,200 jobs, most of them in Oklahoma. He knows how to talk to other CEOs, and he knows that what they are looking for is a level playing field, that someone's going to shoot him straight, tell him how it's going to be, and be their number one fan to be in the state. So with Governor-elect Kevin Stitt, we are going to have diversity in our economy. That is a huge priority for him. He looks forward to expanding aerospace and defense. We have a big opportunity with my former boss, now chairman of the Armed Services Committee, where we can look at what he's doing on the national scale and help people to understand that Oklahoma understands and values defense. There's an immense opportunity there. There's going to be immense opportunity in the financial services side of things. But with diversity, one thing that Governor-elect is very focused on is budget stabilization, which you mentioned, Russell, and part of that is going to be being very wise with the surplus that will be seen potentially when the Board of Equalization meets on December 19th. And as we do diversify and grow our economy, we're going to begin to see a surplus. Our tax revenue is recovering. We've seen a tax increase that happened earlier this year, and we cannot just go out and spend it like drunk sailors. We've got to look at it and say, how are we being good savers? We have some very oil-rich neighboring states, Texas, North Dakota, some others, who they've done a great job at stabilizing their budget through larger savings accounts, which has allowed them to preserve core functions of government in downturns. We need to do a better job of that, and that will be a priority for the governor-elect.
All right. Well, I know you are very busy and have a lot of stuff to do, so I'm very appreciative of you taking some time to chat with us about the transition. Is the actual, you know, inaugural process worked out yet, or is that something that you guys are still working on?
We are working on it. Inauguration Day will be January 14th. It is open to the public, and we're really excited. And as soon as we get more details in regards to what time people can show up, where seating will be located, we will be eager to have the governor-elect out there talking about it and letting people know how to attend. As many people know, the governor-elect had the establishment working against him in the primary and the runoff. He was elected because of the people, and we really want to have as many people there of Oklahoma at the inauguration as possible. Let's break another record. I know he's eager to see people again, and we look forward to communicating those details as soon as they get finalized.
Donnell Harder with Governor-elect Kevin Stitt's transition team. The Broken Arrow Police Force is hiring. KRMG's Russell Mills talked with James Cook about BAPD's requirements and what you can do to apply with the department.
Got an email from you a couple days ago, and it I will tell you right off the bat, Broken Arrow pays its police officers pretty well. But the point of the story being that you guys are looking to hire right now, and if somebody wants a career in law enforcement, BA might be a great place to start. Kind of tell us a little bit about it.
Yes, Broken Arrow is indeed a very, very good place to work for. I'm happy. I have been here personally close to 5 years, and I've loved it. We're very fortunate that we do receive a very healthy salary, and we're looking for top candidates to fill our next academy class.
So let's, and this is all public information, so I'm not giving away any, you know, closely guarded secrets or anything. Starting salary is a little over $51,000 a year. That's pretty good money. I'm going to just be flat honest with you. It's more than I'm making, at least base pay wise. It goes up a couple grand, about $2,300 after year one, and that after year two, it goes all the way up to over $57,000.
Yes.
And that's not all. Let's talk about if you live within, I presume, the city of Broken Arrow, there's a take-home car program.
Yes, there is an identified boundary to where even if you live outside the city of Broken Arrow, if it's within a certain fence line, if you will, an established boundary, then you're able to take your car home. We have officers that live in Tulsa. We have officers that live in Coweta. We have rural Tulsa and Wagner counties. If you are inside that established boundary, then you are able to take your patrol car home after you exit the police academy.
That's a pretty awesome right there. I will tell you that, you know, that's a nice perk. I drive a company vehicle. It's a great perk. I drive a news unit. You could be retired after 20 years with the Broken Arrow Police Department. There's other benefits. I'm positive that health care and all that's in there. A uniform allowance. I mean, it goes on and on. Here's what's kind of interesting. Police departments in, like Tulsa, for example, requires a BA.
Yes.
Broken Arrow is willing to help you get your BA. So
yeah, that is one of the very generous benefits that we have is an education incentive program and also an education reimbursement program. Now, the difference between the two is, let's say we only require 64 credit hours, so you don't even have to have an associate's degree. If you have, because some people don't have associate's degrees, but they have countless college hours. So people who change their majors and, you know, and what have you, life happens and they have to, you know, stop going to school and then they get back in. Well, they've got more credit hours, but they don't have enough to have or in the right areas to qualify for a degree. So that's how people get more than the 60 college hours that the associate's degree awards. So you don't have to have the degree. You have more than 60, you have at least 64 college credit hours from an accredited college, then you can, you're eligible for hire. So the education incentive program is for those who, well, let's start with the reimbursement program. So the education reimbursement program is if you don't have a degree and you have the college hours enough to qualify to get hired, after you get out of the police academy and out of training and you want to continue your education. So I want to go for my bachelor's now. I've got however many college hours, but I want a bachelor's degree. Well, the police department will reimburse you a certain amount per year to go to school. So so they help pay for that. And then after you get the degree, there's the college education incentive program. So we pay, oh, is it in front of you right now?
It just says education incentive for completion of bachelor's or master's degree.
Okay. So there's an incentive pay for having your bachelor's degree. And then there's a higher incentive for having your master's degree.
I got it.
So that work. So the college incentive program and the or the education incentive and the education reimbursement works for bachelor's and master's degrees. However, if you have a master's degree, you don't get compensated for, you don't get the incentive for your bachelor's degree also.
Right.
So you get it for the bachelor's or the master's. So that is one of the very good benefits that we have, and a lot of people take advantage of it because it's available to us.
All right, so let's talk about, so there are minimum qualifications, obviously, and we've been talking a little bit about that. Number one, you got to be 21.
Yes, you have to be 21, and a lot of people ask. It surprises me in law enforcement, being out in the community all the time at a convenience store or a restaurant, people ask, how old do you have to be to be a police officer? So you have to be 21 because in the state of Oklahoma, you have, that's the age you have to be to possess a firearm.
Or say enter a bar where there's a fight, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to be 21.
You got to be able to go into a bar and carry a gun.
Yep. Okay. So and that requires you to be 21 in the state of Oklahoma. Yep. And it just makes sense. I mean, honestly, I'm not sure. Well, we don't need to get into that. I'm just saying I don't think 18-year-old cops is a good idea. Obviously, your driving record has to be, not have to be perfect, but it has to be not bad. In other words, I think the rule here says no more than 3 moving traffic violations in the last 5 years or in excess of 1 at-fault accident and 2 moving traffic violations. In other words, they don't want people who just flat can't drive or don't bother to follow the law when they're driving. That makes sense.
Yes, indeed. So that means that you can't, like you said, we don't have to have, hold on 1 second. Are you there?
Yep, still here.
Okay. So like you said, you don't have to have a perfect driving record, but you can't have all kinds of traffic citations on your record.
Or DUIs.
Or a DUI within the past specified number of years. Right. And it's on the website. I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah, it's 5. No, it's okay. It's 5 years for the 3 moving traffic violations and stuff like that. For the DUI, it's 7 years.
Okay.
And I'm okay, as a citizen, I'm down with that. But that rule, not a problem. All right, the deadline, I believe, is March 31. Is that right?
That's March 15th.
March 15th of 2019 is the deadline to be in the next Broken Arrow Police Academy. How many recruits are you guys looking for?
Well, in years past, we've looked for anywhere between 8 and 12. So I haven't been given an official number. But we are accepting all of the applications people want to submit.
All right. So a couple ways you can do that, but probably the easy way is to go to Broken Arrow OK, all one word, brokenarrowok.gov, and you'll be able to find it that way. I think if you just Googled Broken Arrow Police Recruitment, this page would probably come up. It's got all the information about salary, about the requirements, about what the job duties are. It's all there. It's all spelled out for you. So
yes, we also have a website that will take you directly to the city website, that so you can bypass all of the tabs and click on government, click on departments, click on police. So at that website, it'll take you straight there. Is www.joinbapd.com.
James Cook with the Broken Arrow Police Department. Special thanks to KRMG's Russell Mills for the interviews. This is Oklahoma Perspective. For Cox Media Group, I'm Bert Williams.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.